السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في القرآن المجيد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، الصلاة معراج المؤمن، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, this is the holy month of Rajab, as we know. And in this holy month, one great incident took place, extraordinary, beyond our imagination, the great miracle of the history of mankind, which is known as Isra and Mi'raj. There is a difference of opinion with regard to the which particular month or night this journey of Mi'raj took place. But it is evident that we should believe it took place and it is true. It is not fairy tale. Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Holy Quran, in Surah Al-Bani Israel, this is the first verse of the Bani Israel, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى الَّذِي بَارَكْنَا حَوْلَهُ لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Pure and clean, سَمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. So, pure is that, سبحان, there is without any blemish, without any doubt. And he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has only started this one particular surah in the Holy Quran with the word of Subhan. Unique. There is no comparison with this attribute and this quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because this journey was extraordinary beyond our imagination, it is impossible for the human being to travel in that speed and come back. It's impossible. And that's why Allah Ta'ala has made it clear, is not Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went by himself, Asra bi abdi. Asra, Sara Yasra, in Arabic terms means traveling during the night. Asra, taking someone. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is made it clear, it is not possible for the human being to travel in this speed, but for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if Allah wants someone to take it, Allah can do anything, He's subhan. There is no doubt. If you doubt, you are out of fold of Islam. You cannot be a believer. A believer who believes in unseen, that's a part of Iman. So, Asra bi'abdihi laylam min al-masjid al-haram, one part of the night, one portion of the night, one moment of the night, it did not even take the full whole night. Laylan, nakira, ba'dam min al-layl, one portion of the night. And that's why riwayat Hazrat Umm Hani radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was a cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a sister of Hazrat Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anha. She narrated, he was sleeping in my house in that particular night, in the house of Umm Hani radiallahu anha, was close to the Hatim, with the Mataf in today's time. And in the midnight he went, and when he returned back, his bed was warm. So you can imagine how quick this journey took place. Layla min al-Masjid al-Haram ila al-Masjid al-Aqsa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken his beloved servant from Masjid al-Haram, Makkah Mukarramah, to Masjid al-Aqsa, Jerusalem, Bayt al-Maqdis. These are the three masajid has been mentioned in the Holy Quran. Baytullah, inna awwala bayt udi'a lin-nas, Masjid al-Haram, Masjid al-Aqsa. And one of the Sahabi asked, radiallahu ta'ala, to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which one was the first masjid built on the surface of the earth? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Baytullah, obviously from the time of Adam alayhi salam. Then he asked, which one is the second one? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, Masjidul Aqsa. That was the second masjid built in Jerusalem, first by Hazrat Dawud alayhi salam, then Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, and according to some riwayat, it was built before them by Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Ibrahim alayhi salam was the builder of Baytullah and was the builder of Masjid al-Aqsa as well. And because the progeny of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam were settled in this area of Palestine and Sham, so from his progeny, he had Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam and Ishaq alayhi salam, and from Ishaq alayhi salam, all the Bani Israel, Yaqub, his son Yaqub, and from there. So it said about 4,000 prophets and Anbiya came from the Bani Israel in that particular area. That's why Ulama said, Barakna hawlahu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed that area of Sham, the bigger Sham, not in today's Syria, with the special blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are so many Anbiya alayhi salam's graves are in that particular region. So this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he would like to take Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Baytullah direct to the heaven, it wasn't impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take him from Baytullah. But why he took him to Baytul Maqdis? There are two parts, as Ulama explained. One is Isra, which is from Baytul Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa, and which is, you know, Rasulullah traveled on the Buraq, winged horse, came from the heaven, Jibreel Islam brought it, the speed of lightning. We know the incident. I know I'm not going to go in detail, but I'm just highlighting some glimpse, some points out of it in this short time. Why? What's the reason why Rasulullah is taken to Baytul Maqdis and from there to the heavens? Although I explained that all this time till the, you know, Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, the Anbiya and Rusul used to come from Bani Israel. And Isa alayhi salam is the final prophet of Bani Israel, one of the Ulul Azm prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show and prove it, no more Nabi or Rasul is going to come from progeny of Bani Israel. Now Nubuwat and prophethood has changed from Banu Israel to Banu Ismail. Hazrat Ibrahim Salam's the elder son, Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, and he remained nearby Baytullah. He passed away over there, and from his progeny, Quraysh and Hashmi and all this tribe came. There was no Nabi came from the Banu Ismail after Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, from his progeny. And then finally, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came as the last and final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show that look, now no more Nabi is going to be in Bani Israel, but now he shifted to Bani Ismail. That's why he took his beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to Masjid al-Aqsa. And as we know, all the prophets from the time of Adam alayhi salam till Isa alayhi salam, they all got together and they were waiting for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And here there was a Jibril alayhi salam, hold his hand and say, you are the Imam of all these prophets. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam became the Imamul Anbiya, the leader of all the prophets. So he wanted to prove it that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the Sayyidul Mursali. He is the Imamul Anbiya. There is no one higher than Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam amongst all the prophets. Not even Adam alayhi salam, not even Ibrahim alayhi salam. All the prophets have their status in their places. But compared to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, no one is greater and higher than Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They all had to obey and become the musalli of this final prophet of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. This donor, this honor, this dignity, this ijaz, Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala wanted to show the mankind. There is no beloved to me than Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He is my Habib, Habibullah. So that's why he took him to the Masjid al-Aqsa and made all the prophets to perform the salat behind him in his imamat, and then granted him the dignity that he is now the Imamul Anbiya. Now just compare, in the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he took journey of migration, hijrah, from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Madinah al-Munawwarah. And that journey also was by the command of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. But we know how hard and difficult that journey was. He had to purchase the camel, spend some money on it, and had to hide 3 days in cave of Thor, right? And protect himself. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala was with him. And it took days from Makkah to Medina, to reach to Medina. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wish, he could have just sent Burak to Makkah. Okay, come on. Within a minute, you will be in Medina. But it never happened. He had to go through all these hardship and difficulties. Why? Ulama said this journey of Mi'raj was the invitation by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the journey of Hijrah from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Munawwarah was the journey of Tabligh. The journey for the sake of Islam, for the sake of Deen, to protect his Iman. So, in the matter of Tabligh, there will be hardship. There will be trials and tribulations. Every Nabi, every Prophet had to go through with that. And that's how Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had taken that journey physically by all these hardships and difficulties. And in this side, Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala wanted to dignify and honor him, that special invitation. And this invitation, my brothers, if you go a little bit back, prior to this journey, the incident of Taif took place. We all know about it. Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, beloved wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she was at the time of Battle of Uhud, and she was witnessing the hardships, the difficult task at the time of Battle of Uhud. 70 Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anha became Shaykh. The Mubarak teeth of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was broken. He fell into the little hall, and it was rumored that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was killed. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala was restless. That scenario was very, very hard, very difficult. Sahaba didn't know what to do, how to do, because Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam martyred. That was a rumor. No one could see him. He was bodily injured. His face Mubarak was full of blood. Sahaba became shaheed. Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, his beloved uncle, was muted. All this happened. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha at that time was aware of all this situation. And when the matter of Taif, the incident of Taif took place, at that time Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala was very young. Because this incident of Taif took place after the demise of his beloved wife, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, and his beloved uncle Hazrat Abu Talib, one after the other. That's why that year was known as Aamul Huzn, the year of sorrow. All this hardship, boycott, social boycott took place, and because of that, Hazrat Khadija passed away, and after that, Hazrat Abu Talib. So now, until the Abu Talib was living, he was the leader of the Quraysh, and he had the amnesty and protection of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Although he did not embrace Islam until end, but he was a shield to protect Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from physical harm. Quraysh, the kuffar, had no guts, no daring to attack physically on Rasulullah. They were torturing Hazrat Bilal, Hazrat Suhaib, Hazrat Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who used to embrace Islam. But as far as Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he was Hashimi, he was from Quraysh, and Abu Talib was the leader of the Quraysh at that time. So, and he was protecting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but now that protection is gone. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left behind alone, no protection. Now Abu Jahl and Utbah and Shayba, now they became more stronger, more aggressive. That no one else now is to protect Muhammad bin Abdullah. His protector is gone. Now we can attack him. Now we can harm him physically. No one will take revenge. That was the scenario. And that was one of the reasons, because the people of Makkah were not accepting his kalima, his Islam. So he had the hope that if I go to this another city called Taif, the people are very rich, they are educated, they are, maybe this tribe will embrace me in my Islam, then inshallah Islam will have some strength and power. With this hope he went, walking alone to Taif. And what happened over there? The youngster pelted him to that extent, the entire body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was full of blood. And there, when they were chasing him away, miles, he was running out of Taif. Coming back, heart was broken physically, emotionally. People could, you know, people had seen his physical injury. His body was full of blood. People had written all this riwayat. But his internal pain, no one could see it. He was more hurt from inside than outside. The physical hurt and harm was not that big compared to the internal, you know, emotional hurt which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through. That's why Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, when she asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what was the difficult day in your life? He was hoping, expecting, as I mentioned, Battle of Uhud. Certainly it was very hard time. And she was hoping that Rasulullah will answer that Battle of Uhud was a difficult day in my life. It was. But Rasulullah answered differently. He said, Oh Aisha, the most difficult day in my life was the day of Taif. The day of Taif I cannot forget. So, when he was coming out from the Taif, and the youngsters were chasing him, stoning him, pelting him, he was helpless, powerless. Emotionally was injured. Physically he was injured. No hope for any kind of help and assistance. humiliated. He said, I was humiliated for the sake of Islam. No other Nabi and Rasul have been humiliated to that extent. Not even Musa alayhi salam, not even Nuh alayhi salam, not even Ibrahim alayhi salam. You know that emotion which Rasulullah went through, there is no comparison. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is ya'lamu ma fi sudur, aware what is there in the heart. He was aware of it. No one else. So, look at this dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how these words are coming out from his mouth in that particular occasion when he was out of Taif. He said, Allahumma ilayka ashku dhafa quwwati wa qillata hilati wa hawani ala nas ya rahman rahimin. أنت رب المستضعفين وأنت ربي إلى من تكلني إلى بعيد يتجهمني أم إلى عدو ملكته أمري إن لم يكن بك غضب علي فلا أبالي ولكن عافيتك هي أوسع لي أعوذ بنور وجهك الذي أضاءت له السماوات والأرض وأشرقت به الظلمات وصلوا عليه أمر الدنيا والآخرة أن ينزل بي غضبك أو يحل علي سخطك لك أتبع حتى ترضى ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بك. He said, O Allah, I appeal to you for the weakness in my strength, in my limited power, and treatment of the contempt and humiliation from the people to you, the most merciful of the merciful ones. You are the Lord of the oppressed, and you are my Lord. Under whose care are you leaving me to? To an enemy oppressing me, or to a friend you have given a control over my affairs? If there is no anger from you on me, I will forever be content. However, your blessing is vastly important for me. I seek refuge with the glory of your light, your nur, which the heavens and the earth lit. From your anger, and will not befall on me, nor your displeasure descends on me. To you is the supplication until you are pleased, and there is no control or power except by you. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So he was crying and he was turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that condition, in that situation. Oh Allah, no one can help me. And if you are happy with me, with all this condition, with all these hardships, with all these trials and tribulation, I don't care. La ubali. As long as you are pleased with me and you are aware of my affairs, you are aware of my condition, if you want me to suffer like this, I am happy. No complaint. I am content. Just like, remember Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he was going to throw him into the hell, into the fire, angels were there to protect him, to help him. He said, no, I don't need anybody's help. If my Lord is aware in my situation, and if he is happy with me to be burned into the fire, I am happy to be burned. This is the quality of abdiyat, submission, devotion. That whatever is happening in my life, Allah is aware of it, and is through the command of Allah. خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Every good and bad comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If this is the way Allah wants me to suffer, I am ready, I am prepared. But mercy of Allah is more beloved to me than this suffering. I am not fit for it. Don't ask for the trouble. But if you are going through the trouble, have the patience. Have the sabr, don't complain like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know better than me my condition. If you're happy in this condition, no complaint. But please have mercy upon me. I cannot bear more than this. I am done. I am weak. So this is abdiya, this is submission. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. And after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him invitation that, oh, Jibreel Salim, go and bring my beloved to the heavens. I want to show his honor and dignity. People of the earth is not respecting him, is not honoring him, is not listening to his message. But here all the angels are waiting for him. All the Anbiya alayhi salam are waiting for him. They are eager to respect him, to honor him, to welcome him. And that's how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taken this journey of Isra. And then from Baitul Maqdis to the Mi'raj, there are so many lessons from us, my brothers and sisters, in this journey of Mi'raj. But this is the time. Or the gift of Mi'raj is the Salat. Inshallah, next week I'll elaborate about Salat.
Sure.
May Allah give us tawfiq for that.
Amen.